Hi, my name is Sydney, and welcome to our 100th episode.
Hi, my name is Maya. I don't know what Sydney has planned.
Mm-hmm.
She's been making a big... Obviously, it's a big deal. It's 100.
100.
That's kind of a lot.
I can't believe we made it this far.
Me neither. But yeah, I know you're cooking up something. I don't know what.
I have a little plan for today that Maya doesn't really know about. And she won't really, because a bunch of this episode is going to be edited in after the fact.
Sydney's like, oh, she really does. I have no idea what's going on. Like, none.
Maya's in the dark. I took it upon myself to make the 100th episode special, because you took it upon yourself to make our episode 69 very fun. And honestly, I didn't think we'd make it to, like, episode 69. I was like, I can't believe we made it this far, episode 69. Holy shit. And then I feel like episode 100, like, creeped up on us all of a sudden. I know we, like, took a break and it was just, like, pushed it back a little farther, but still, I was like,
I know, when we got back and we were talking and everything, you're like, the 100th, I was like, huh?
Yeah.
I thought that wasn't until next year, like, early next year.
Nope, it's now. And then we will, I don't know, relax for another 100 episodes, so 3 more years and then we'll back to, But yeah, today I have kind of a special episode, that mixes everything that I really enjoy about this podcast. One, our guests. The people who we speak to and interview on this podcast. Two, history. I love history. Okay. As we know, I've talked about a multitude of historical fandom fanfiction things. Okay. And then three is fanfiction. So today, I'm going to be giving you the history of Archive of Our Own.
Okay.
Specifically, throughout this episode, I have asked guests from the past to speak about their experiences with AO3, and you will be hearing their voices and their experience of life before AO3, their times with AO3, and what AO3 means to them throughout the whole episode. So, I mean, yeah, like, AO3 is...
Listen, I felt like I came late to AO3. I was very much the Tumblr girly. I started off not even on Tumblr, just, like, looking shit up on, like, Quotiv, DeviantArt, Wattpad, like, places I definitely, places you start out when you're first looking, I feel. Like, fanfiction.net was not a thing in my lexicon at all. I really didn't know anything about it for a really long time. And then I found Tumblr and it was like, this is a hub for, like, fanfiction and fandom stuff. So I'm just gonna stay here. And it really wasn't until we started talking and we became friends that, like, I had heard about Archive of Our Own, but I was like, I don't know what that is. And I never, like, looked into it because I was like, I'm scared. I don't know. So.
Yeah, you definitely took the long way.
Yeah, I was not resilient to the idea, but I was like, I didn't have anyone to, like, guide me through it. So I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know what AO3 is, but.
It wasn't until, like, hearing other people talk about AO3 that I realized that, like, some people have a problem with, like, their search system. Like, that seems confusing to them, almost. Mm. I feel like I am a very resilient, and I was like, I'm gonna figure this shit out, unless it kills me, you know?
Coming from Tumblr, it was, like, godsend to, like, have filters. I was like, oh my god, I can sort this by completed? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
It's life-changing.
It really is. But I definitely didn't do as much as you. I think I've read a single fanfiction on DeviantArt. I've definitely read fanfiction on Tumblr, but I wasn't as big as a Tumblr girl as you were. Mm. And I spent a lot of time on fanfiction.net. And I feel like because there's a lot of cross-posting on, like, fanfiction.net and Archive of Our Own, that's probably where I found, like, my first of be like, oh, it's on Archive of Our Own. I was like, what is this? And then I was just like, I'm gonna use this for the rest of my, like, fuck anything else I was using at that point.
Because even when I was on Tumblr, it wasn't, like, a big thing to be like, oh, I'm linking this to my AO3. Like, that didn't become very popular until COVID. Like, pre-COVID, hardly anyone did that on Tumblr. It was mainly just, you post it on Tumblr. That's how it is. You follow the person, you ask in their comments to be in their tag list when they post a new chapter for something, and that's how you get new content.
Even still, the couple of fanfictions that you have talked about on the podcast from Tumblr, like, they might have the fanfiction on AO3, but it won't be completed.
Right.
Or, like, it won't be, like, it'll be, like, totally completed on Tumblr, but it won't on AO3. So I feel like there still might be a divide of, like, Tumblr girlies versus, like, AO3 girlies.
I think, I also don't know if it's, like, an internet access thing for people out of, like, you know, United States, Britain kind of situation. So I feel like that's part of it.
Yeah, but I'm going to do my best to, like, be as unbiased. Like, let's be really, like, honest here. Like, it's going to be a biased review of AO3 from me because, like, I love AO3. Like, it is... I loved everything, like, about it. I know, like, through the past couple years we've been doing this podcast, we've had, you know, new segments where we talk about, like, the faults of AO3 and the failures of AO3. But it's, like, I guess maybe I'm just maybe a more hopeful person or whatever. So it's definitely not going to be unbiased, like, maybe some of my other historical or drama sections are that are, like, I don't really know much about or I wasn't involved in as much. And it's, like, this is very much, like, this is my thing. So, without further ado, the history of AO3. Fan fiction, as we have known from the countless and countless and countless of historical renditions that I've given of through the plight of fan fiction, has never had the straightest trajectory for success ever. With the introduction of new ways to enjoy and express fandom, there has always been bumps or potholes in the road. Angel Fire or GeoCity websites such as the Frollo Zone and Alt Books and Rice became refugees for fans who wished to be part of a community that loved the things that they loved, but they could devolve into spaces full of bullying, doxing, and the complete erasure of people's hard work for good just because of technical difficulties that come with whole websites being run by a single person as a hobby or two people as a hobby. Fanfiction.net became the first big space for fanfiction for fans of any and all fandom, but corralled and punished their users and also allowed others to bully and harass users for writing explicit fanfic, YN-centric fanfic, or even something as simple as songfics, and drove away large herds of their user base. Quizlet, seemingly the most shocking fanfiction platform, was pretty good until it shut off all services and took the website down with it, leaving fanfiction writers and readers cold and lost alone in the world. Every single time fanfiction readers and writers thought that they had a space where they could express themselves and do something as harmless as reading and writing fanfiction, the other shoe dropped and they had to make the choice to flee, hoping they'd find a better platform that housed the fanfiction they were looking for, or stay and bear the restrictions that they were placed under.
My history with fanfiction before AO3 started on the Sailor Moon HTML fan sites of yore. There were individual collections of fanfictions hosted on privately owned personal websites that had a rotten tendency to disappear if the site ever went down.
During my summer holidays when I was 17, I discovered anime and started browsing internet for real and was shocked to discover there was something called fanfiction, whereby we had the chance to expand the canon, you know, the canonverse. I was freaking mind blown, and there was an explosion going off in my head.
One of these many instances happened in 2007 with the website FanLib. FanLib was, in all accounts, just a fanworks site. Since its creation in 2002, FanLib existed not as the best, but also not as the worst platform that garnered about 25,000 members at its peak until they came under fire as they attempted to monetize fanfiction on their website. This caused a lot of outrage online amongst both fanfiction writers and readers. The idea of monetization of fanfiction not only took away the accessibility of fanfic, which was a large part of the community, but it also did not benefit many, if not all, authors. Authors who were primarily women were not being listened to and taken advantage of by the staff of FanLive, which was entirely male-based. Some of these women decided to have the discussion of ethicality regarding authorial rights and accessibility, deciding that after all these years of watching people try and fail in ways that hurt them the most, it was finally time for them to take their community back. Naomi Novik, fanfiction author and now traditionally published author, published a post on LiveJournal in 2007, quote, "We are sitting quietly by the fireside, creating piles and piles of content around us, and other people are going to look at that and see an opportunity. The people behind FanLib don't actually care about fanfic, the fanfic community, or anything except making money off the content created entirely by other people and getting media attention. They don't have a single fanfic reader or writer on their board. They don't even have a single woman on their board. We need a central archive of our own."
I think I truly first discovered AO3 when I was maybe in middle school. I heard about it a lot from other people and how great it was. My friends would mention it all the time and would recommend it, but I never actually tried to get into it until maybe, I want to say, 2 months into the school year, because at the time, a lot of the fanfiction I was reading were starting to become repeats of one another on Wattpad. The well was running dry and I had no other sources to turn to, so I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot, and if this works, this will broaden my fanfiction horizon, which will both benefit me and everybody else I talk to, because now I'll have cool new stories to talk about and recommend.
Name drop, whoa.
That's also, Naomi Novak is Astolat, who you read a Game of Thrones fanfiction about that one time.
I know, I remember. That episode was so crazy, because it was like, Bybra, and you were like, who? Who? And I was like, by this person, and you were like, you know who that is?
Because I knew for a fact that you had no clue.
No idea. I was like, no, who? That's crazy. Damn, look at me.
You just found the first thing that seemed intriguing to you.
I mean, like, when I do the process of, like, picking, like, I'll read the first couple paragraphs, see if I like the writing style, and I like the characterization and everything. And yeah, that one by far, Bran of Tarth and Jaime Lannister, I was like, fuck yeah, why not? It was good.
Yeah.
She slayed.
One of the creators of Our Cup of Our Own. And I know a lot, when I was doing research for this, a lot of the times she's just credited as Astolat, but I do think that we need to put her name, Naomi Novik, just like to every single time I was reading an article, I was like, user, Astolat. And I was like, say her name. She deserves her flowers just as much as like the other women that I will be bringing up. She is just like more than her username at this point. And I don't actually know if she like still publishes, because she is like a New York Times bestselling author. Like, she is, you know, an author now, but I do think that she deserves her name in full just as much as the other women that I will be speaking about. There is an article that I read, Venture or Vice, I bring it up later in my write-up, that she is named, you know, by name, Naomi Novak, but like the name is never attached to like the username. In any article that I found, it's either Naomi Novik or Astolat, and it's like very much like these are the same people. Like, you know, she is Naomi Novak, the New York Times bestseller author, and she is also Astolat, who writes incredible Game of Thrones fanfiction. So that sense of urgency that Novik conveyed in her post was amped up just a few days later when LiveJournal permanently and without warning suspended more than 500 accounts that had mentioned sexually explicit topics. The bans were poorly explained and affected many users who had not posted anything illegal or against LiveJournal's terms of services. And around that same time, the Snary archive detention vanished literally overnight because of an argument between the owner and one of the mods. This raised awareness that a long-term archive would need to be run by an organization not subject to a single person's whims. I know we have project managers in our community and coders and designers. Can't we do this? Novik wrote in her original post. They could do it. Comments flooded Novik's post with people willing to help. These volunteers that we can thank for this were only fans themselves, but were fans with knowledge of the law, coding, server maintenance, design, accessibility, and more. They saw the spark that came from Novik and others, such as Francesca Coppa, an English performance and fan studies scholar, and Rebecca Tushnet, a legal scholar who had served as a clerk in the Supreme Court, and decided that they were willing to invest time, not just in reading and writing the stories, but in building the infrastructure. It turns out fans are everything. Fans are journalists, fans are librarians, fans are graphic designers, fans are lawyers, our accountants, said Coppa in a 2022 Verge interview. Fangirls do absolutely every job there is. You often see people talking about the archive as this triumph of amateurism, said Michelle Tepper, who was a founding board member and the head of design for AO3. It absolutely was not. It was a triumph of professionals having the opportunity to do it right. But not everyone involved was an expert in their field, but even the amateurs were determined to teach themselves skills, determined to help create a door for future generations of fans to step through whenever the time came. So I think that's a super cool like thing that I learned throughout this, of just like, I do agree with Tepper, where it's like, whenever we talk about AO3, it is like a cry of like, the people who taught themselves coding. And it was just like, yeah, there were amateurs involved. Absolutely. There were people who were teaching themselves how to code and like server maintenance and design and everything. But it was also people who were like like people that we talk to on the podcast that are like literal professionals and like they have jobs outside of this, and they were like, you know what, have my skills for free. I'm going to volunteer my time and my knowledge in this and give back to create the infrastructure for this.
See, I've never once thought of it as amateurs.
Really?
I only think about amateurs in the sense of like, oh, this is a place for people who maybe don't have a lot of writing experience to just like post and like get better. I've never once, in terms of like the website building, been like, yeah, they were a bunch of amateurs, because I've never heard anyone be like, they were a bunch of amateurs and they just built this website from the ground up. Any website is built from the ground up. Like, of course it's going to take someone who knows how to code. Like, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't constitute whatever.
I just feel like whenever I have heard anything about like the start of AO3, it was just like, look at all these people who taught themselves. And it was just like, I feel like that's all that I have ever heard about like the start of it, is just like people who were teaching themselves how to do it, which is like an incredible feat. Like, don't get me wrong, I've never taught myself how to code, nor will I ever. But like, I guess hearing it differently from one of the people who was involved, of just like, no, these were people who already had the skills and like decided to like volunteer those skills. The Organization of Transformative Works, also known as OTW, a nonprofit fan activist organization dedicated to preserving, advocating for, and encouraging fan works by making fan work widely accessible, was founded a few months after Novik's original plea. Archive of Our Own, completely built and run by volunteers, was later launched on November 14th, 2009. Archive of Our Own, also known as AO3, defines itself primarily as an archive and not an online community. The name itself, inspired by the essay A Room of One's Own by Virginia Woolf, in which Woolf said that a writer needed space, time, and resources in order to create.
Publishing my own fanfiction on this site gave me the feedback I needed to really help improve my writing. A lot of the comments on AO3 feel more genuine. They feel more, here's how you can improve, the story is fantastic, here's the emotion of the character I like, and here's where they sound out of character. It was very informational to me, and it helped me become the writer that I am today.
Did you know anything about why, like, Archive of Our Own is called Archive of Our Own?
No, I thought it was just like, haha, funny name. Isn't that so cool? Look at us.
No, it's thoroughly thought through of, like, this is the archive space, the Archive of Our Own, the rooms of one's own. Those bitches were so smart and ahead of their time.
Kind of, yeah, it seems like it. My brain, even hearing it now, I'm still gonna go around and be like, haha. AO3, aren't they so smart? Archive of Our Own, AO3.
I feel like there's already that when I see people on TikTok or whatever, and they're just like, I just got why it's called AO3, because there's three O's of our own. And I'm like, oh, you sweet summer child, you're so precious. Putting it together.
Don't coddle them. This is why we have participation awards.
Oh, no. The whole big, long timeline for AO3 you can find on FanLore, a site that is also run by OTW. But the basics are that the idea was first proposed by Novik on May 17th, 2007, in a post titled An Archive of One's Own. The archiveofourown.org domain name was registered May 30th, 2007 by Rebecca Tushnet. So that's, I think, like 13 days after. They moved quickly, basically. They were moving quickly. AO3 opened for closed beta, in which members of the public were welcome to view and comment on October 3rd, 2008. And AO3 entered open beta on November 14th, 2009. Users were able to get accounts either via first-come, first-served invitation queue or via invitation codes distributed to those who helped with the closed beta testing.
Unfortunately, I was unable to score an account on the site for a year and a half after discovering it due to the then lengthy invitation process. This is like circa 2012, so more than 10 years ago. But eventually, Fandom Fred invited me, and within a few months, I was up and posting.
And on December 24th, 2009, AO3 had 4,648 fandoms, 3,810 works, and 4,127 users. When AO3 launched into alpha in 2009, the team was able to put together features they felt were missing from other sites, including our beloved tagging system, as well as knowing key qualities that they would not back down from. One being that this needed to be a nonprofit, so that there would be an ever-changing board and not one singular person would take down the ship like some Angel Fire pages could have. Or something like FanLib that was like, this one guy is the president who's making, you know, all of the... So there would be like a nonprofit board involved so that just like not one person could just dictate what was going to happen to the site.
Democracy.
Democracy. And I'm proud to be an American.
America is not a democracy.
I know. Two, that they would never censor any of the works in the archive as fanfiction.net became so well known for. And three, they would never take money from corporations, they would never have any ads, and they would never monetize their work. Everything would be run by donations and donations alone.
I love the integrity of the site, how, you know, there are no ads, how it permits creative expression basically for all sorts of, like, interests, preferences, and I don't want to say kinks, but I'm going to say kinks. And how it's such an open space, like allowing for so many people to just express themselves without needing to be a published writer. I'm really grateful, and I love how the site's staff and the volunteers run it, how they keep it clean and they keep it organized and protected.
It was maybe 2016. I got a proper account when I learned how to navigate the site for tropes I liked. I was hooked.
As the site continued chugging along, they continued to add features such as the Kudos button in 2010 and subscription to authors in 2011. Something like the Kudos button, thinking about an archivora without a Kudos button is very funny to me. Like, they went a whole year without a Kudos button.
I think that's fair, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think, like, a like button is, like, necessary. At least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I think comments is far more important than likes.
I think that's right. I think you're right for that. I do think that they should implement that I should be able to kudos a single work more than once. I think that needs to be put in place.
Yeah, but then that makes the whole purpose of it null.
I know. But, like, it's so, like, especially for multi-chapter fix.
That's why comments are more effective.
I know. But, like, people don't like to comment. They like to be silent readers, and that's okay. You could be a silent reader. But, like, I just wish you, like, for multi-chapter fic, that you were able to kudos more than once for each chapter.
When you have the one person that reaches out and is like, hey, I love your work, I want to talk to you, you get, like, what me and Saint have.
A loving, caring relationship.
You're so right. You're so right. There was already a need for AO3 when it went into beta in 2009, but in September of 2011, there was a massive database performance issue with administrators blaming them on greatly increased use. On December 31st, 2011, the archives had approximately 8,000 fandoms, 275,000 works, and 31,000 users. So in only 3 years, the works more than, like, quadrupled the size of what they had before, and doubled their, or more than doubled, that's like 8 times more the amount of users they had in 3 years. And there was another spike in users in May 2012 when the site reached 1.4 million unique visitors a month, coinciding with fanfiction.net's 2012 purge.
Nice.
1 year later, on July 16th, 2013, AO3 had over 760,000 works in over 12,000 fandoms and over 183 registered users. Other milestones include the 1 millionth work that was posted on February 15th, 2014, 2 million fan works on December 20th, 2015, 1 million registered users on Halloween of 2016, and 5 million fan works in July of 2019.
I kind of like how it hasn't changed much, like the website, I mean. The layout's still the same, and it feels very familiar. It hasn't changed much, my experience with AO3, but I like that it hasn't changed.
I also love how the format and the design of the site has stayed the same for years, because I don't remember it ever changing, and I think there's charm in that.
And around the time that AO3 was reaching 5 million fanworks in 2019, Archive of Our Own was notified that they were a nomination for a Hugo Award for Best Related Work. So Maya, do you know what a Hugo Award is?
I do not.
So a Hugo Award, or the Hugo Awards, I should say, are some of the most important prizes in genre fiction. They're the genre fiction equivalent to, like, the Oscars. Mm. Among past winners we see are George R.R. Martin, Neil Gaiman, Diana Gabaldon, and N.K. Jemisin, who made history by winning Best Novel 3 years in a row.
Good for him.
Her.
Sorry.
Doing your best
here. Whole gambit. Sorry.
For a long time, fanfiction and the Hugo Awards basically left each other alone. Mostly the kinds of works that the Hugo Awards went to were not the kinds of works that the fanfiction people were writing fanfiction about. Mm-hmm. But this all changed in the 2010s when a new generation of authors were coming into the foray, many of them women, queer, racially diverse, and had started in fanfiction. In 2018, AO3 made the long list for best related work, only a single vote away from the shortlist, and in 2019 it was shortlisted. Since fanfiction and fanfiction authors weren't as well respected, the nomination alone was a really big fucking deal. Finally, there was a moment for fanfiction authors and readers to look at the traditional media surrounding them and say, I belong here too.
AO3 itself is like a safe harbor from my thoughts and feelings, and the world is just a little bit smaller in a good way. When I log in, my heart beats a little faster when I see a new comment. It means a lot to me.
There was a lot of detractors in AO3 being nominated for this award. There were debates about whether AO3 was eligible as a non-fictional work or a fictional text, quote, noteworthy for aspects other than fictional text. There were discussions about whether nominations were really nominating it for the fictional texts it hosts, i.e. all the fanfiction hosted on AO3. And there were concerns that if AO3 won the award, people wouldn't really understand that the award was for the related work aspects of AO3, not for the fics it hosts. And of course, there were some out-and-out people saying, but it's full of icky porn.
Yeah, a couple of times I got, like, hate comments, but those were really insignificant if you compare them to, like, the good comments that I got or, like, the kudos that I got and just the general love I received for my creative work.
I've never understood this line of thinking. I feel whenever I talk to people who don't know fanfiction and only equate it to porn.
I don't know anyone in my life, anyone that I've ever met, that has been immediately, at the mention of fanfiction, been like, yeah, porn.
It's not people in my life, I'll say. It's like, through the podcast, like, I'll talk to people, like, I went on that one show on Twitch channel and whatever, and we talked about fanfiction after he had found our podcast, and one of the questions was just like, isn't there a lot of porn in fanfiction? I was just like, yeah, I guess, but like, we don't need to like, that's not like a selling point. Like,
that's, I mean, like, I know it's out there, it's just like, I've never encountered a person that I've talked to where it's like they've brought that up to me. It's always been people think of it in the sense of like, especially the people that I talk to, where it's like, oh, Star Wars level kind of like, because, you know, they retconned a bunch of stuff. So essentially, there's a lot of published books out there that are just like fan fiction because yeah. It didn't happen in a canonical universe. So for them, it's like, that's what they think fan fiction is.
For sure. But yeah, there was a lot of debate and discussion about AO3 receiving this nomination and like whether it was worthy of it. Or not, I guess. It felt very much at the time like all of these people were saying, I've never read anything on AO3, and I only know fanfiction in the form of 50 Shades of Grey. But if you asked any AO3 loving person about their favorite works on AO3, they would probably give you a response similar to Tumblr user Sparkles Mikey. Quote, literally the most well-written stories you'll ever have the privilege to read. Better than most classic literature. You've read published works that weren't this beautiful. You feel like a better person after having read the story. Another fan said in a Tumblr post that no matter what happens, as long as AO3 exists, I will be fine.
As a reader, AO3 has always been a wonderful source to find both one-shots and novel-length stories that have ended up becoming some of my favorite other works, fanfiction or otherwise. It feels like every week I'm discovering new and breathtaking writing by talented authors.
So many of the fanfiction I found on this site, I feel like I would pay legitimate money for to have a hardcover book on the shelf.
With testimonials such as these, it shocks me that people were mad about this nomination, but that didn't fucking matter, because AO3 won.
And tonight's winner is Archive of Our Own.
All of the debate and discussion was washed out when the award got one of the loudest cheers that night. Four of AO3's volunteers went up to accept the award on behalf of all AO3 creators and readers, with the acceptance speech given by none other than Naomi Novik. All fan work, from fanfic to vids to fan art to podfic, centers the idea that art happens not in isolation, but in community.
And that's a line that I stole from one of my fellow acceptors tonight. And that is true of the AO3 itself. We're up here accepting, but only on behalf of literally thousands of volunteers and millions of users, all of whom have come together and built this thriving home for fandom, a nonprofit and non-commercial community space built entirely by volunteer labor and user donations on the principle that we needed a place of our own that was not out to exploit its users, but to serve them. Even if I listed every founder, every builder, every tireless support staff member and translator and tag wrangler, if I named every last donor, all our hard work and contributions would mean nothing without the work of the fan creators who share their work freely with other fans, and the fans who read their stories and enjoy their art and comment and share bookmarks and give kudos to encourage them and nourish the community in their turn. This Hugo will be joining the traveling exhibition that goes to each Worldcon because it belongs to all of us.
Novik then asked that everyone in the audience who considered themselves part of the AO3 community stand up to be recognized. And lots of people did so, including a significant number of those sitting at the front as nominees and their guests. It was the first time a fanfiction archive or their organization for transformative works had ever won an award, let alone a Hugo Award. To date, no fanfiction has ever won a Hugo, despite the fact that there is a fan writer category. The win was seen as a huge validation for many fanfic authors that their work was just as worthy of respect.
It's a great outlet for whatever creative ideas. It's storytelling in a shape I hadn't tried publicly before. I felt supported all the way in this exploration, and I believe the site has a culture of kindness.
AO3's win did get some mainstream attention. The Daily Dot published an article on why the win was so significant. The Mary Sue also reported with the headline, "Everyone who contributed to fanfiction site Archive of Our Own is now a Hugo Award winner." Fans, writers, readers all celebrated. Of course, there were people who were mad, but no one fucking cared about them because this was proof that Naomi Novik had been right back in 2007. Fanfiction was a valuable artistic culture in its own right, and if there were people fighting for that, it could be seen as legitimate. Of course, like I said in the beginning, this is a very biased take on AO3, but I cannot sit here and make this whole episode spouting AO3's great deeds because that would just not be true. AO3 is not perfect. Criticisms of AO3 have varied over the years, including AO3's handling of racism in fandom. In 2020, the discussion intensified by the global protest in the wake of George Floyd's death, and the subsequent debates ignited about racism in all parts of life, including fandom. OTW addressed racism in fandom space for the first time, but without addressing concerns that fans of color had about AO3's own policy. It is correct and okay to say that AO3 is the best we've ever had, fanfiction fandom-wise, but also that it is not a kind place for writers of color, and that OTW had not been very open to ideas of how to engage with concerns of these fans of color. Fandom's perception as being particularly driven by women and the LGBTQIA community can make it seem inherently progressive, and people can use that as an excuse to belittle or ignore the criticisms fans of color have for OTW and AO3. In an open letter to the OTW written by a group of fans and academics, they made it clear that they love fandom and value what the OTW and AO3 can do, but want to be a part of a more inclusive era in OTW's history. Quote, "We strongly urge the board to take immediate steps to help make fandom a space where all fans, particularly Black, Indigenous, and ethically marginalized fans from all over the globe, can thrive." Many of these proposed steps concerned AO3, such as tools to facilitate investigations by the policy and abuse team, and features to give readers and creators more control and protection, such as comment freezing and potential blocking and the muting functionality. The OTW board of directors, chairs, and leads released a statement in response stating that, quote, "In recent weeks, there have been intense conversations about long-standing issues with racism in fandom, as well as the organization of Transformative Works and Archive of Our Own's roles in the problem. We have received valid criticisms for not showing our commitment earlier and numerous requests to clarify our position. We would therefore like to take a moment to address our users and fandom at large. The OTW stands against racism and discrimination in all its forms. We apologize to anyone who has suffered from our inaction to make the OTW and AO3 a better environment for Black fans and fans of color, and we apologize especially to users who, due to this inaction, have felt unwelcome on AO3. While some change happened slower than others, AO3 has changed. They gave writers the ability to turn off comments on their works and more recently implemented a system that allows users to mute and block other users, calling the move, quote, the first part of increased measures against harassment. But this is a current problem. We will be seeing AO3 change before our very eyes, but so far these seem to only be positive changes, that the board members and chairs are listening to the voices of their users, that they won't let AO3 stay stagnant and fall into damnation that happens to other fanfiction sites of old, because they know how important it is to us, how important it is to them. Today, the OTW has 1,010 volunteers, net assets of $2.5 million, and at least 15,810 paying members, according to the annual report in 2021. The OTW celebrated its 16th birthday this month. It currently hosts 11,614,058 works in over 59,000 fandoms, and there is no end in sight. The OTW was born to serve fans and protect fan history and culture in all forms. It's our mission in troubling times, stated in a post celebrating the organization's 16th birthday. Since its foundation, OTW has helped rescue hundreds of fan works from at-risk archives and platforms, old and new, making them accessible to millions of users. It has advocated for fans in an ever-changing legal environment. It has preserved fan culture through a wiki that you can contribute to. It has published 39 issues of an international peer-reviewed fan studies journal. And of course, it provides access to over 1 million fan works.
As a Portuguese-speaking person, it changed the way I communicate. I think it bettered my English, and I think that altered my life, like seriously. I got into international programs. I published a paper in English. I wouldn't be able to do that, I think, if I hadn't had that sudden interest in writing and fanfiction from AO3.
Naomi Novik is now an acclaimed New York Times bestselling author, a Hugo nominee, and has not only rightfully carved a place for herself in the fantasy and sci-fi world, but has helped fanfiction take their seat at the table. Francesca Coppa is a professor of English and director of women's and gender studies, and also wrote a series of essays titled The Fan Fiction Reader, where she writes about fan fiction as a rich literary tradition. And Rebecca Tushnet is a professor of law at Harvard Law School, where she focuses on copyright, intellectual property, and the First Amendment. Archive of Our Own is a web archive in the Library of Congress. In 2012, Asia Romano and Gavia Baker-Whitelaw of The Daily Dot described Archive of Our Own as a cornerstone of the fanfiction community. Time magazine included Archive of Our Own in its list of the 50 best websites in 2013. Time said that AO3 serves all fandoms equally, from the A-Team to Zachary Quinto and beyond, and also called it the most carefully curated, sanely organized, and easily browsable and searchable nonprofit collection of fan fiction on the web.
There's just something special about AO3. There's millions of fandoms and billions of stories, and nobody's ever going to read through them all, which is amazing because that's just so much content. And there's so many times where I've looked in the comments of a book I've read and there's somebody who's asked who else started crying in the middle of a section of a book, and you have five or six other people pipe up and are like, oh, here's the section of the book that I got the most teary-eyed, and here's the section of this book where I agree with you, this was the most emotional piece I've ever read. And it's just, it's special in a way I can't really put into words.
There is something to be said, among both the successes and problems from the last 16 years, about the longevity of Archive of Our Own. AO3 is by fanfiction readers and writers for AO3 fanfiction readers and writers. The existence of AO3 is a beacon of fandom celebration, fandom determination, and has helped fandom to become more recognized and normalized in wider culture. Hopefully, there is still a long lifespan of AO3 that I would be honored to sit through and be a part of, to watch from the sidelines in any way that I can. Members of that community with valid criticisms will hopefully be taken seriously. Changes will be made to AO3 to make sure that it stays around for the good of all. If it's not obvious, I love Archive of Our Own. I don't remember when it became such a huge aspect of my life, but whenever I watch a new movie, I go to AO3. I see AO3 tabs open on your computer and we're best friends now. I realized that it wasn't weird to insert yourself into a story because of AO3. I found people who held the same obsession as I did, who were as weird as I am, who aren't afraid to be cringe or like what they like. AO3 is everything to me.
I found this site when I was 12, and 12 years later, here I am, still using it, still loving it. It's a constant in my life.
What does AO3 mean to you? It's beautiful that a community of creative people just does things for the love of it, and they incidentally come together and become friends.
AO3 provides both a sense of community and fandom, as well as an escape from the real world, in the form of gorgeously written prose, and, as I mentioned before, an ideal place for me to forge my skills as an author. It's so wonderful to be able to read and write and post hyper-specific stories, and not only find a demand for what I've written, but a place to find unique works that appeal to me as well.
What does it mean to me? It means literally so many things. I could gush about it all day, but basically it was the space where I got to express myself as a writer, because I started writing in teenage years, but I never really posted them anywhere. I just kept them to myself. I still have like my old notebooks that I would keep writing with pencil or paper, and they just stayed with me. I never got to share them with the world. So AO3 allowed me to share it. My talent, my imagination, my skill, my interests, my own preferences with people, and so it was basically that place that I got to share it with.
AO3 means a sense of freedom and connection. AO3 is this place where somebody can polish an idea and have the potential of at least one other person enjoying it right along with them. I can't count the amount of times my friend has sent me a fanfiction from this site simply because they thought I would enjoy it or because it reminded them of me. This entire site's just got this vibe that helps bring fandoms together and small groups of people together to become friends or at least share a connection together. And I think that's really special. It's super nice how this site will bring people together to be more than just strangers. Sure, you might never see them again, or sure, you'll never know who they are, but you can at least remember that one shred of connection you had between one another. And I think that's what AO3 means to me.
Long ago, back in 2009, an early commenter of AO3 remarked, "Every time I see big shiny celebrations of fan culture that completely ignore 40 years of women's creative work, I want to not only let my freak flag fly, but march up and down the streets with it." And then something reminds me that getting out there without doing it on our own terms is only a small part of the battle. Archive of Our Own seems like a fan culture site that gets our culture while really making the most of the internet as it is now. And through its 16 years of existence, that statement has continued to ring true. I asked our listeners to answer the question, what does AO3 mean to you? And this is what they had to say. From Cheesy Rainbow, quote, "It's an outlet for creativity. It also serves as an escape from the canon material for the fandom who were not satisfied or downright disappointed by the outcome of the show/book, etc. Even though there is a stigma surrounding AO3 or the fanfiction community in general." From Kick Aggressive, quote, "Chronic horny aside, AO3 is where I built a life, and so I continue to abide there." From Taryn Shaw, "For me, it's a chance to practice and stretch my writing talent by writing the type of stories I truly want to read." From Annie Neems, "For me, it means more than content about the canon universe and in interacting with fellow fans to gush about our shared obsession." From Frozen Fountain, quote, "It's many things. It's an outlet for self-expression, a way of processing difficult emotions with either surgical precision or typed primal screaming, and a delay in saying goodbye to a world and set of characters that I love. It's a moment, sometimes just a brief one, of finding a little bit of connection to a stranger through our shared love of a piece of media and what it means to us. Sometimes that blossoms into a long-lasting friendship, and sometimes it's just a nice exchange of a few sentences I remember for a long time." And from Infinite Galaxies, "I don't know if I can properly articulate how much it means to me. It's the only place I can truly express myself without fear of censorship. It's a source of motivation, a deep wellspring of creativity and community. AO3, along with fandom friendships, have changed my life." So I ask you, what does AO3 mean to you?
Thank you.
see, they all had, like, profound shit, mm-hmm. and I feel like I don't, because, like, don't get me wrong, beautiful platform. The fact that you said that Congress recognizes it scares me. I have written porn for that website, and it is published on that website. Congress knows, not that the U.S. government already doesn't know what I'm looking up, but, or writing, or whatever.
But the U.S. Congress recognizes it.
Someone, when I'm dead, long gone.
I'll say what I was reading off, because that was what I wanted that last thing to be, is, like, here was the start of where we came from, which was, like, a group of people being, like, we need to start this thing now, because it's, like, people are taking advantage of us, we cannot find a safe space, things are being shut down all the time, like, we are being censored left, right, and center, so a bunch of people were just, like, we have to take this into our own hands, and now it's, like, I wanted the very last portion to be, like, look at not only where these women are now by being professors of law at Harvard and, you know, New York Times bestsellers, but also, like, being recognized by the Library of Congress and Time Magazine and the Daily Dot. And it's like, look at where we've come in 16 years. I can't wait to see how the next 16 shaked out.
I mean, yeah, I think you kind of figured out what I was going to say. It's just, it's a safe space completely and utterly. I mean, obviously they're taking measures now to make sure it's even more safe that they didn't have before. Like, blocking people is kind of really important for any social media. It's not a social media platform, but any platform where there's, like, multiple users, there's the ability to, like, comment or talk to people. It's a place that I have gone to with a variety of emotions in mind that I want to either express or read about or try and, like, get out of my system. There is nothing else like it, truly and honestly. Tumblr has purged multiple times works in any variety. I've heard of people just losing their shit randomly, and it's like, what the fuck, Tumblr? And they're like, huh, that fucking sucks. Definitely just a complete safe space. You can always find a crowd. No matter what you're into or what you want to write about, or if you're looking just for something to do, you have a little bit of downtime, or you're going in with a very specific kind of thing or emotion in mind, there's at least one thing. Like, it's over 11 million works.
Yeah, and I definitely, when you're talking about blocking, I don't know if any of those women ever thought it would be this thing.
Yeah.
With millions of works and tens, if not hundreds of thousands of users, and, like, you know, even when you, like, look at the numbers all together and you, like, see these drastic jumps, and, like, one of those drastic jumps was definitely during the pandemic, where people were, they had a lot of downtime, as you said, mm-hmm. and it was, like, I think within a year or a year and some change, it was, like, there's the next million works or something, right. And it was just, like, a crazy, like, what am I supposed to, like, do now? And, like, there was a lot of other things that, like, criticisms that come with AO3 that I just didn't feel that were necessary, because it's like, I could sit here and debate, we could have a debate episode in the future that comes with these things, but it's like, that is what you have criticisms for that I didn't mention, are like, that's what I mentioned before, where you can listen of, like, this is an archive. They said that they weren't going to be censoring anything. They even gave you the choice to abandon your works, to orphan them, instead of just completely delete them. So if you want to, like, put some distance between yourself and that work, you don't have to delete it. You don't have to get rid of it. It doesn't have to disappear into the ether anymore. Mm-hmm. In the same way of, like, you know, making sure that, you know, it is completely self-run. I know a lot of people have a lot of things to say about the donations, but those donations mean something for a reason. And I think just the reason that the donation goal gets smashed out of the water every single time is because of what this platform means to so many people. Either new people who are able to find their community so easily with a platform like AO3, or the older generations who saw what happened and I was like, I'm never gonna let this happen again. Right. And so they give what they can because now they have the money to give. And that's not even the thousand volunteers that they have on top of that. So there's a lot of criticism for AO3, but there's a lot of love for AO3. And you're right, there's not a platform like it.
Not at all. And the thing is like, there's not going to be. I don't think anyone's going to come out and be like, yeah, I'm competing with Archive of Our Own. Like,
a joke.
Get a life. Sorry, that sounds very mean.
I would like to thank the voices that you heard today. Auralis, Simply Lumity, Sunshine and Gunpowder, Taoist, and Chocolate Moosey for letting me use your beautiful voices and with all your help with today's episode. When I sent you all a stray out of the blue email to help me with today's 100th episode and a series of four questions, I was really just like, maybe someone out there will enjoy the time that they spent with us. And I was so pleased to hear back from you because you will always be a part of not only our journey, but of fanfiction journey, because you are one of the thousands. AO3 wouldn't be what it is without any of you. So yeah, I would like to thank those people. Thank you to the people on all of our social medias that let me use your words. Thank you all for listening to us for 100 episodes. Whether you joined us at the very beginning or you found yourself somewhere along the way, maybe episode 12, episode 47, episode 69, or that one time we made a Legend of Zelda episode that pissed everyone off.
Oh yeah!
Thank you so much for being here. I can't believe I get to do this for as long as I have, and here's to another 100.
Been a long fucking time.
It's been a long fucking time. Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.